Good to be with you this morning. Good to have this beautiful day to be out this morning. It's good to see those that haven't been able to be out recently and are back with us, especially Sue. I know she's dealing with a difficult thing right now, but I'm sure with God's help, she'll overcome. It's good to see her this morning. I asked Rocky to lead that song, and it's not one we sing a lot here, but I felt like it went along with my lesson this morning, things that we'd be talking about, and stepping in the light is what we'll be discussing this morning, more or less. But that song takes on the idea that we take steps with a Savior, for the way that the Savior has given us. The only thing I don't like about the song is it says trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. I like for it to be more definite. I will walk in the steps of the Savior. I will do this. And so if I had something to change about the song, it would be that, to take out the word trying and replace it with something else. But this morning I want to discuss... let me make sure I got all my mechanics right here. Yes. Steps toward spiritual maturity. So, as we discuss this morning, I want us all to feel comfortable with this topic. Devin came by the house yesterday and asked me what I was going to be speaking on. I told him the title. He said, "Well, good, you need that." And I said, "Yeah, I do. But I think if I need it, then we might all need it." So I want to share this with you this morning and hope it will benefit you as much as it benefits me. I've got most of the scripture that will be on the screen this morning, but there will be some passages we'll be turning to. But feel free to turn to them. Nevertheless, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, right off the bat, it gives us two paths that we're talking about, steps that we should be taking. The step or the path with a light in it, the path with the darkness in it. And so we should be making a choice, and it should be a daily choice. If you've ever been out at night, and especially if the moon's out a little bit, you're always looking for that path that has the light in it. Sometimes if you're in among trees, you won't find that path as easily. I never will forget the evening when it turned night that we were out hunting one time. And again, I want to clarify, we were not hunting at night, but it just happened to get dark really quick. And there was a deer down in the woods. And I went into the woods, and the other guy I was hunting with, he went and got the truck. You know how that goes. So we couldn't locate the deer, and after I got in there, I still couldn't locate the deer. It was so dark, and the moon wasn't out, and the trees were over me, and I sat down beside a tree. I had my, I'd given him my gun, so I had my little pocket knife with me, is all I had. But I started hearing that deer. And he was snorting, and he was close by, but not close enough that I found him. And we never did find him. But I say all that to say this: I was scared to death because I was not in the light. And so we look for that path with the light. To segue into that, we also, as grandparents and parents, we have the unique advantage and pleasure of watching our children grow. watching them learn, and we learn with them. There's an education there for both of us. Watching them grow and watching them become adults as we are, but we really never stop growing. Physically, I haven't stopped growing yet, although I'm trying to, fix that, but I've yet to quit growing. But I hope that spiritually, I pray that spiritually, I haven't stopped growing either. And in terms of spiritual growth, it should mimic that of physical growth. When does it begin? That is spiritual growth. When does it end? That is our spiritual growth. And I think that's a question that we as individuals have to answer ourselves. When does it begin for me? Or when did it begin for me? When is it going to end? And so I think as we go through this lesson, we can confidently answer those questions. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 5 and 6. We as human beings hunger and thirst for something. We're going to hunger and thirst for something to fill our appetite. I'm not talking about physical food, but I'm talking about something that we pursue. We're going to pursue something. It's just in our nature. That's the way God made us. And so God says that His food, His spiritual food, will satisfy us. He says that spiritual growth is a deliberate and daily process. We've already stated that no more than we've talked about it. It has to be deliberate, and it has to be on a daily basis. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, showing an action of progression. And so, it is a work in progress, and it's a work in progress that never ends until the day we die here, and then hopefully we're prepared enough to go on and glorify Him in that eternal home. And so, in Romans 12:2, and we're going backwards, let's go forward. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The transformation begins when we go down into the watery grave of baptism. We all are aware of that pretty much. So we kill one person. One person dies as we go down. And then one person is raised to walk in newness of life. So a person is renewed, or another person comes up out of the watery grave. And so, as we go into this spiritual maturity, taking these spiritual steps toward maturity, you know, it's not instant. It's not fast. It's not quick. It's something that we have to pursue daily, and we have to have our focus on that, that this is what we are here for, and this is what we are here to do. It's very unlike what we see in today's society. Everything is instant. Therefore, we're kind of somehow programmed to think that spiritual growth and maturity is instant. We hear that word a lot, instant. We have instant pudding, instant oatmeal, instant tea, instant coffee, instant success, instant riches, also known as an overnight success, maybe. Instant makeovers, and we could go on forever. If not for our microwave, we wouldn't have anything instant. But it all equals and brings us to a very familiar term, and that is instant gratification. So everything's done instantly in this world, in today's society. So I'm surprised that we have such a mechanism called a slow cooker in our kitchen. Because the world we just talked about is not interested in slow cooking or slowly becoming spiritually matured. They're especially not interested in waiting on the Almighty God. There is a need for us to stay hungry for the righteousness of God, and we can't go to sleep at the wheel. It shouldn't be boring or mundane to study. It shouldn't be boring or mundane to meditate and talk to the Creator of the universe and the author of our salvation. There's nothing boring about that. It shouldn't bother us to put it in the slow cooker and think on these things that glorify Him. It's a lifelong process of daily reading and study and prayer and meditation. There is no substitute, and it's not instant. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And so we have to get past that stage of a baptismal babe. And as we look at 2 Peter 3, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall away from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. When we think of Samuel, and we've talked a little bit about Samuel in our adult class on Sunday morning, but we think about Samuel, we have to think of spiritual maturity or spiritual growth and maturity. In 1 Samuel Samuel 2 and 26. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:21. So here we see a man or a boy that grows before the Lord. That was what he was commissioned to do. And that was actually what Hannah intended on him doing. But we can see the spiritual growth and maturity in Samuel. Hebrews 5 and 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And then Hebrews 6 and 1, continuing, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Leaving the elementary principles carries with it the idea of moving forward into our maturity. So, one thing I picked out of that was the words that were used, and that is we practice it. We train ourselves. And so if you go out for football, you go out for basketball, especially at Cold Springs. If you go out for basketball at Cold Springs, you're going to practice every day. Sometimes you might practice starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you might come back that afternoon. After school's over with, you're going to practice every day. And God is saying to us as soldiers of Christ, you're going to practice this every day. You're going to train yourself so that you'll be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong, between what is good and what is evil. We talked about Solomon this morning, the wisest man ever known, given all the wisdom that God could give him, more than those before him and more than those would come after him. But something happened toward the end of his life. The wisest man in the world. And he wasn't able to discern between good and evil. And so it behooves us to train ourselves to practice that of spiritual maturity. Ephesians 6:13 tells us to take up the whole armor of God. Ezra 7:10 simply states, for Ezra had prepared or set his heart to seek or study the law of the Lord and to do or practice it and to teach the statutes and ordinances of God in Israel. And the reason I have the slash marks in there is that I used two different versions. Primarily, I used the New American Standard, but sometimes I like the wording from other versions. So, Ezra, we have a good example here of a person who practiced it, who prepared it, his heart for it, and who did it. And so Ezra is another example that we can use from the Bible. All that being said, it brings us to our first step. Our first step is this: let us prepare our hearts. Let us prepare our hearts. If we don't have the mentality, if we don't have the mindset to study God's word, we'll never study it. So we have to prepare our hearts. We have to talk to ourselves. We have to look at that person in the mirror and point at him or her and let that finger point back at him or me and say, I will study your word. I will study God's word. I will know God's word. The book of Ezra says that we have to prepare our hearts. Luke 10:27, a very familiar passage. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, from the New International Version. This is one verse that most all the major translations that we refer to state it virtually the same. There's not much deviation from it. The idea is that we must surrender all when it comes to preparing our hearts for serving the Lord. We surrender all in our heart. That is, that does not have to do with God. Much like the song we sometimes sing, and I enjoy singing that song, but I wonder sometimes if I really listen to the words enough that I'm willing to do this. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. And so, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to surrender everything to our Savior? We have to prepare our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The NIV puts it this way: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The ESV says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. And then NAS, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Good advice to take care of our hearts, to prepare our hearts for a study of God's word. And in Luke 6:45, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So as I talked about before, we're going to hunger and thirst after something. We're going to look for something to fill our heart. That's just the way God made us. Why not let it be the righteousness of God? Why not let it be God's work? We're talking about steps towards spiritual maturity. And so, looking at 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. It says we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So that's harnessing every thought every day, taking it in, thinking on it, meditating on it, if you will. Sometimes we meditate when We don't know we're meditating. My grandmother used to say, I'll have to study about it. And she meant it too. Sometimes it didn't work out in my favor, but she was studying about it. And so how difficult is it to harness our thoughts or take them into captivity, as the passage would suggest here, and do it on a daily basis where we're focusing our attention on our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? How difficult is it right now to maintain a focus, to talk about a daily practice of studying God's Word or taking spiritual steps towards spiritual maturity? How difficult is it for us to harness our thoughts as we come together this morning to do this very thing, to talk about God's righteousness? Well, there's a reason this one thing is talked about so much in the Bible, and that is giving our heart to God. It's because the first century Christians would have had a problem with it too, because the letters were wrote to them. The children of Israel had a problem with it, and I think we too have a problem there and need to give careful attention to it as well. If we do not fully prepare our heart, if we're not committed to it, to spiritual growth, we not only as an individual, but also as a congregation, we jeopardize our faith and are ill prepared to face the spiritual challenges that lie ahead of us. Let us prepare our hearts together as a family of God's children. Step two is to seek the law of the Lord. You may say, well, that's what we already talked about. No, Ezra prepared his heart for that. And anything that you do, you're going to have to prepare it. You're going to have to get it ready. So that's what we're saying. Get your heart ready to seek the law of the Lord. It should be a daily activity in which we begin our day with prayer, we end our day with prayer, and in between, we're looking for ways that we can study God's Word, looking for things that we can pray about. There's so many things we can pray about. And, of course, meditation. So it's essential to seek the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, 10 through 12 puts it this way. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander far from thy commandment. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The NIV says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. And the Holman Christian Standard says, I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be praised. Teach me your statutes. And so there is a need for us to seek the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, if you will. In Matthew chapter 6, it talks about this treasure that's spoken of here. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be looking at verse 19. It talks about the treasure in our heart. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So whatever we treasure, whatever we value, that's what will be found in our heart. You can take the vilest criminal and interview him and talk to him, and it won't be long that you'll know what's on his heart. Maybe he's repented. Maybe you'll know what's on his heart in a good way. But if not, then he's going to tell you about some of the things he's done and some of the things that he's been involved in and the way he prepared his heart for that rather than to seek the Lord. Okay. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. There are no shortcuts to a study of God's Word. It simply requires a commitment from us to roll up our sleeves and go to work. Just like we go to work every day at whatever we do, we have to literally roll up our sleeves and go to work, or in a semblance kind of way, roll up our sleeves and go to work. Seeking the law of the Lord requires planning. In this country, in general, there are not a lot of us that miss a meal, nor do we, in most cases, plan on missing a meal. We don't plan on missing a meal to eat. All the planning goes into making sure we eat. It seems like every day some of our discussions simply revolve around, well, what are we going to eat? Well, what are we going to have for supper? What are we going to have for dinner or lunch or whatever you call it? You know, it seems like you ask that question more than needs to be asked. And some days we ask it more times than we should, really. But a lot of planning goes around on what we're going to eat. So the question is, are we putting that much planning into our spiritual meals? Do we take the necessary steps or the necessary time to plan our day, our week, or even our month as to what our study habits or spiritual meals will be when it comes to God's Word? And so I just say all that to say, if we're going to plan our physical meals, then it should only be right that we plan our spiritual meals. It is essential for us as a follower of Christ to evaluate our spiritual meal planning. We should plan for our spiritual meals just like we plan for our physical meals every day. It's important to us and it's certainly important to God. We should plan daily to talk to God in prayer, plan daily to read and study God's Word, plan to meditate on God's Word, and make a defense for the gospel if the opportunity arises. As a disciple of Christ, God requires it, just as he required it of the apostles and the first century Christians. In Psalm 119, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It goes directly along with a song that we sing, often sing. It comes from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I'll begin in verse 10. Psalm 19, I'll begin in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. That sound like a daily newspaper you might pick up or a Facebook feed or whatever it is you watch, wherever you get your news from. A lot of difference in God's Word, God's law, than in what we see in the media today. We are to seek the law of the Lord to attain spiritual maturity. Without it, we can never attain it. We can never have it. So finally, step three, we must do the commandments of the Lord. And you might say, well, that's what we've been talking about all along. That, you know, we study God's Word, we look at it, we read it, we meditate on it, we know it, we have the knowledge, we have the information we need. We're going to do His commandments. Not so fast. There's a lot of people that have a lot of Bible knowledge. Some even more than preachers or longtime Christians. They have that much knowledge. But when it comes to obeying the commandments of the Lord, they fall short. They just don't do it. And so it happens that we can have this knowledge, we can prepare our heart, we can seek the law of the Lord, but if we don't obey His commandments, all is lost. And any maturity that may have started or begun will be stopped immediately when we don't obey God's law. Our obedience is seen in our life. It's seen in the path that we choose to follow, the path that we talked about, the path with the light in it or the path with the darkness in it. And it's seen there. That is, if we're being obedient to God or if we're not. Let's use this example. And it's probably a poor example because I came up with it. So just bear with me. But, you know, with all the media we've got today, you can YouTube anything. And for you ladies that don't know what YouTube is, don't worry about it. Just stay away from it. But, so you can, you know, how to fix a lawnmower, how to fix a car, any number of things. So I came up with this idea, well, I'm going to read a number of books, an incredible amount of books, on how to be a heart surgeon. I'm going to look at all the literature on it. I'm going to read all the journals. I'm going to become familiar with the terminology. And so I could go into the heart surgeon doctor and converse with him, because I would know what he was talking about, because I'd read all these books. I had all this knowledge inside, you know. And I'd even watched a few YouTube videos. But I really hadn't put it into action. I hadn't gone to Atlanta where they have the cadavers that you can work on there. I hadn't done that, you know. I hadn't even really, you know, worked on a dog or anything close to, you know, the real thing. And so even though I've got all this knowledge and I've got it packed in here, you know, if I haven't put it into action, would you want to be my first patient? Bill, would you let me perform heart surgery on you? I mean, I've got all the knowledge that you could possibly fathom. No. I mean, so we can have all that knowledge of God's Word. We can know bukoodles of things. But if we're not willing to follow His commandments, all is lost. It's necessary. It has to happen. It has to happen on a daily basis, that we long, hunger, and thirst for God's righteousness. James 1, 21 through 25. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. We must abide in his word and be a doer of his word. Revelation 22:14, we'll not turn there, but the New King James Version puts it this way: blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And now we'll look at Luke 6. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. And that is the parable of the solid and unstable foundations, house foundations. So, there's my verse now. Just got a little ahead of myself. Nevertheless, blessed are those who do his commandments. So I'm asking, let us together, as those desiring spiritual maturity, I'm talking to us now, those of us desiring spiritual maturity, and I would say that would be most of us here. I know it is, that we desire to do that. That as we pursue that, let us prepare our hearts to study God's Word, to study it on a daily basis, to long for it, to hunger and thirst after it, to daily seek the law of the Lord, and to be a doer of God's commandments. That's three simple steps, but you know it takes more than that. It takes a commitment, and it takes perseverance, and it takes vigilance, and it takes us watching our heart, guarding our heart against those things that are out there to attack it. I hope that the lesson, again, has been as beneficial for you as it was for me. I hope that something has been said this morning that has turned your heart. And if you have not followed the commandments of God, that you'd be willing to do that this morning. In Acts chapter 2, they ask, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we have that opportunity. If the gospel calls you, please come as we stand and sing.